You're listening to The Naked Scientists with me, Greg Jackson, and Chris Smith.
If you have any questions or comments or feedback for the programme, you can get in touch. The email address is chris@thenakedscientists.com. You can tweet @nakedscientists, or you can look us up on our Facebook page.
Still to come, how Australian scientists are making ripples in the cheese-making world, and can babies feel pain?
But first, to the world of robots, which are arguably going to play a major part in our future. Robots can venture into places that are too dangerous or too toxic for a human, and they can do things like search and recovery, chemical cleanups, or even firefighting. But at the moment, robots are inherently limited by a very poor ability to cope when something goes wrong and they break. Well, now that could be about to change, thanks to a breakthrough by US and French researchers who've developed a revolutionary new programming algorithm to make their robots learn like we do. Jeff Kloon is one of the team.
So robots will eventually provide tremendous benefit to society, especially if we can have them do work that's too dangerous for humans to do, such as putting out forest fires or finding survivors after an earthquake. But they won't be very useful until they can continue to work if they become damaged. So what we wanted to do in this work is have robots be able to soldier on and continue to do what we've asked them to do, even if they become damaged. And that requires some creative artificial intelligence techniques that we invented.
Why can't a robot be made to do that currently?
Either you could program a robot ahead of time to execute a very specific sequence of actions, but then when it becomes damaged, then that program no longer works. Or you could try to have the robot learn on its own how to adapt to damage. But previous techniques searched through the entire space of possible behaviors, and in our case, that's more molecules than there are on planet Earth. So what we need is an intelligent way to quickly adapt like you do, or maybe your dog does, when you become damaged, as opposed to something that takes hours or days or years sifting through possibilities. Our approach is very different. We provide the robots with a simulated childhood, if you would, where they get to play around in a computer kind of virtual world and learn all the different ways that their bodies work and how to behave. And then when they become damaged, they then use those intuitions that they gain during their childhood to figure out a behavior that works very well despite the damage. So for example, when you were a kid, you probably learned how to walk around on your tiptoes, or maybe only walk using your heels, or crawl on all fours. And if suddenly you found yourself with a wound in your heel out in the forest, you'd say, right, I'll just pop up onto my tiptoes. I know how to walk that way because I've practiced it before. And that allows me to continue on with my hike or get out of the forest and back to a hospital.
So how does the algorithm know which of these solutions to apply under which circumstance? And how does it find that solution quickly? Because it will have just a huge database of information relevant to I can walk on my tiptoes, I can do handstands. How does it know which one to apply when?
Right. So it actually acts very much like a scientist. It has some predictions from its experience about which behaviors will work well, but it doesn't yet know which of those behaviors will work now that it has this new damaged body. And so it conducts one experiment, it tries something out, it gets the data back from the experiment, and then it updates kind of its predictions about what it thinks is going to work. So if the thing it just tried doesn't work at all, and the thing it just tried relies predominantly on the front three legs, then it will say, okay, I'm going to rule out that entire family of walking behaviors. Let me try something completely different, maybe something that only uses the back three legs. It tries that out. Maybe that doesn't work. So it tries something that only uses, you know, the front right and the back left. And it says, oh, that works just fine. And it's off to the races.
When you say that you are provisioning these robots with a simulated childhood, how did you do that?
So we make a copy of the robot in a virtual world. Basically, you could imagine kind of a video game avatar of yourself or this robot. And then we encourage the robot in this virtual world to play around and try to find the best way to behave. So we might say, try to find the fastest way of walking only on these three legs, or only on those three legs, or without using your front right leg. And one funny story is that we challenged it to try to walk without ever touching any of your feet to the ground, which of course we thought it couldn't do. But it was very creative and surprised us and actually flipped over onto its back and crawled on its elbows quite rapidly without touching any of its feet to the ground.
Good grief. I mean, that really is intelligence, isn't it?
It certainly is a form of artificial intelligence. We find it very creative, very surprising, and oftentimes can come up with solutions you never would have dreamed of.
Jeff Kloon from the University of Wyoming, and that work appeared this week in the journal Nature.